Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are having a great week this week. It is Thanksgiving week. We are super excited about everything we have going on Thursday and then really looking forward to Friday as well. Thursday, we have Jordan's family that comes over to our house. We host and I'm going to be smoking the turkey this year. Really looking forward to that. Always look forward to that. Any kind of thing that I get to put in the smoker, I get excited about. So that's going down Thursday. We get to watch football and then on Friday, we go to my side of the family, my sister's house. We have a really great time there. And then usually we try to get in like a wiffle ball game or a football game, something like that. And then we get another Thanksgiving meal on Friday. So we got a lot of fun things planned for this week. I hope you guys do as well. And I think it's fitting. We're going to be in chapter 11 today in the London Baptist Confession. And we're going to be talking about justification, the glory of biblical justification. As Protestants, we have the biblical gospel. Catholics and every other religion in the world, they do not proclaim a justification now. They do not promise justification on the front end. It's this dangling promise that maybe one day you can merit it, you can get there, you can achieve it, but assurance is never promised. You never get assurance in the Catholic doctrine, and you never get assurance in the global religions of the world. But with the Christianity, you have the gospel of justification proclaimed on the front end. You can know right now that you're right with God, and then the rest of your life is an outworking of thanksgiving. It's gratitude, and that's why it's so perfect that chapter 11 of the confession is going to be right on Thanksgiving week, because it's in justification that we find everything we need to be thankful for our lives, for the rest of our lives. I mean, God has been gracious to us. We know that we're right with God. We don't have to wait. And our poor Catholics out there that are, some of them, brothers and sisters with us, they don't get this treasure that the Bible proclaims, the Bible gives us, and it's justification now. And we're going to look at the mistake of what people do with James chapter 2 here in just a second. But let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we're going to dive in. And by the way, there's negligible differences. There's only one basically one small statement different in paragraph 1 from the Westminster Confession and the London Baptist Confession. So negligible differences again in this chapter, so we're really not going to make note of that. I've just underlined them. We have a couple added words about the active obedience of Jesus and the passive obedience in his death that the LBC puts in it. But we'll just pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we'll dive in. Father, we just thank you right now that we can know that we're right with you, that justification is not this promise that's never actually realized in this lifetime that we have to earn or achieve, or thank you that it's not a process, but it is completely finished because of what Jesus has done for us. And through repentance and faith that is gifted by you to us, we can be counted righteous now. We can know that we're justified. And for anybody out there that's listening to this, maybe had somebody send this to them to be thinking through Thanksgiving and just biblical truth in light of what's coming up this Thursday, God, I ask that the doctrine of justification would really just hammer into them that we can know right now that people can be right with God. And if we are right with God, we have everything we need to be thankful for the rest of our lives every single day because of what you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much. Bless this time. I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise.
All right, to the naysayers out there, to Catholics that are out there who say that justification is a process and we're not justified by saving faith alone, but justified by faith in works, they're going to appeal to James chapter 2. And the confession recognizes that dead faith cannot save. And that is going to be seen in the second paragraph of the confession. And something that is critical, I've talked about this on the show before, actually on the Five Solas episode that I released that was done at our church, that I preached at our church, that released to this podcast stream. You can go back and check that out as I walk through the Five Solas of the Reformation. We walked through that for History Month, Church History Month at our church. But we hammered in on this faith alone piece by looking at James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it then, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save? Now, that is so critical to understanding James chapter 2. Can that faith save? Now, that faith is known as dead faith. So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That faith is dead faith. And the answer we need to respond when it comes to dead faith, can dead faith save, which is a faith that does not have works. And this is exactly what's mentioned here in paragraph 2 of the confession. Well, that faith cannot save. Absolutely not. But if you fast forward a little bit through the text, this is what's always appealed to about faith and works and all of that. But what's missed, it's just so clearly there, is that even in James chapter 2, justification is not a process. It's not something attained. It's not something that's out there one day. It's something that is declared that Abraham had now. It is a assurance that is already there. It is a faith that was a righteousness that was counted to him. And it was living and active faith, not dead faith. It was faith that included works. You see, faith was active along with his works, which according to James, that's true and saving faith. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Now, justification, even there, is a declaration. It's a moment. It's not a process, and it's not a one day, but it's something that Abraham had. Now, contrast that with Catholic dogma or with any other dogma of any other religion of the world. Any other religion of the world proclaims that you can be right with God maybe one day, if you cooperate, if you jump through the hoops, if you do what you're supposed to do, and you can never be assured that you're justified. It's always a maybe. And from people that I know that are close to me that are in the Catholic faith, they will say that assurance is not a doctrine of the church. And it's sad because the biblical Christian goes to the Word and we have assurance, just like Abraham had, just like Paul had, just like Jesus taught. We can know right now that we are right with God because we have been justified. And that is the doctrine we get into in our confession today, chapter 11 of justification. Let's start with paragraph 1. Those whom God effectually called, he also freely justified, not by infusing righteousness unto them, which is critical, by the way, not by an infusion of righteousness, which would be an alien righteousness that's connected to ours and that's infused, making us righteous or partakers of this justification through meritus works or, you know, no mortal sins and using appropriately using all the means of grace and all of that stuff. So not by infusing of righteousness unto them, but by pardoning their sins and by accounting and accepting their persons as righteous, not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but for Christ's sake alone. Not by imputing faith itself, the act of believing, or any other evangelical obedience to them as their righteousness, but by imputing Christ's active obedience unto the whole law and passive obedience in his death for the whole and soul righteousness. Oh my gosh, this is so, I mean, Thanksgiving, right? I mean, you read stuff like that and you just want to burst out in excitement about God's grace to us. We have been imputed the very active obedience of Jesus into our life. It's been counted as ours, and we are justified based on that perfect obedience, alien righteousness of Jesus, and by his death, his passive obedience in his death for the whole and soul righteousness. So Jesus died for every one of our sins. So our righteousness is secure in the life, death, and therefore resurrection of Jesus Christ. They, receiving and resting on Him and His righteousness by faith, which faith they have not of themselves, it is the gift of God. So this whole piece of being right with God, how can man be right with God? How can we be justified? How can we be forgiven? How can we be welcomed into the presence of God? It's through the very work of Jesus alone. It's awesome. Now, lest we be one-sided in this or fall into the caricature that people say about Christianity, that if you say that justification is this way, well, what about works? What place does works have in this? And what in the world are, you know, you're going to say to people when you say they have assurance, they're going to go out and abuse God's grace? Not at all, because this is living faith. Listen to this, paragraph 2. For thus receiving and resting on Christ and His righteousness, the alone instrument of justification, yet it is not alone in the person justified, but it is ever accompanied with all other saving graces and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. We have living faith. So when we become a Christian, our life is transformed. The old is gone, the new has come. We are a new creature. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And we actually, so that this would be a way to say this, that for everybody that Christ imputes righteousness to, he imparts righteousness to, that we actually are being transformed from one degree of glory to another by beholding the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So we're being changed and transformed, and we're becoming holy. I mean, we are actually being transformed from the inside out, and this is the great work of God. So this is accompanied with justification. Paragraph 3. Christ, by His obedience and death, did fully discharge the debt of those who are justified, and did, by His sacrifice in the blood of His cross, undergoing in their stead the penalty due to them, make a proper, real, full satisfaction to God's justice in their behalf. Yet, insomuch as He was given by the Father for them, and His obedience and satisfaction accepted in their stead, and both freely, not for anything in them, their justification is only a free grace, that both the extent of justice, the exact justice and rich grace of God may be glorified in the justification of sinners. We are right with God, truly, because of what Jesus did for us. Not what Christ has done in us, but what Jesus did for us. Paragraph 4. God did from all eternity decree to justify all the elect, and Christ did, in the fullness of time, die for their sins and rise again for their justification. There's the resurrection piece. Nevertheless, they are not justified personally until the Holy Spirit doth in due time actually apply Christ unto them. So this is a critical piece here. Jesus, in His life, death, and resurrection, did purchase us and procured for us the application of that justification through regeneration one day in the future, where the Holy Spirit would come and apply to all of God's elect this justifying work, or this declaration of justification. So the Holy Spirit in real time comes and converts the sinner and effectually calls them. So before we are born again, before we are justified, we're not actually justified, even though that's purchased for us. It happens in real time. So every single person that is the elect of God is born into a state of sin. And at some point, the Holy Spirit comes and they are born again. And then a declaration of justification comes down upon them in real time. All right, paragraph 5. God doth continue to forgive the sins of those that are justified, and although they can never fall from the state of justification, you can never not be justified. This is a critical piece that's important for us as we look into adoption next week. There's something here about adoption, or this relational element of our time as Christians with the Heavenly Father, that is important for us to understand, that although we are always justified, we are never not justified. Here's what the confession says. Yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure. And in that condition, they have not usually the light of His continuance restored unto them until, countenance restored to them, until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. That there is an element, as the children of God, we're always justified, but in seasons of sin, we can experience the Father's displeasure. And so for us, there seems like this relational chasm that's there. We are equally justified. We're never no less justified. But we have to understand this element of justification and adoption, which is on the backside of justification. We are justified to be adopted. And when we're adopted, we have this relational element with our Heavenly Father. And when we're walking in sin and rebellion, or seasons of maybe even backsliding, well, even though we are just as much justified, there is an element there of relational barrier where we feel the weight of conviction of sin or even condemnation, even though there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we are walking in the sin and we feel the fatherly displeasure. And so what do? We turn and we repent and we come under the grace of God again, and we experience the Father's pleasure. We're in His house. We're in His family. So it's not like we're ever booted out of His house, but in this fatherly displeasure through seasons of sin, it's always important for us to repent and to understand that we are right with God through the work of Christ alone and confess those sins and know that the grace of God can be upon us and is upon us, and we can have the Father's pleasure upon us. So that is a critical piece here. And if we don't understand that, I think that there's elements of this. I actually wrote an article years ago that was published by For the Church. This was back when I was writing for the Church. I've got like 20 or 30 articles with them, by the way, that's still up. They never took them down, which is pretty cool. But justification is something that typically those that are doctrinally solid Protestants, that we understand. We are justified before a holy God. Adoption is kind of this piece that we don't really understand, whereas those that are, and if we don't understand that, then we're going to think that justification is kind of this static thing. We're not going to understand this relational element to our Heavenly Father. We're going to miss out on the personal element that God does call us sons and daughters. Whereas the kind of charismatic side, those that are just kind of the, low church Protestantism that's in our country, from the run-of-the-mill Baptist to the non-denominational folks out there, they kind of understand this adoption thing. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God and all this kind of stuff. But they don't understand. They're like, this is not about religion. It's about relationship kind of thing. But they don't really get justification. And so for them, their foundation is only as solid as their relationship with God is on that particular day. And the great thing that this confession does for us and that biblical theology does for us is it gives us a solid foundation of justification and an we have justification and adoption, that our justification is secure. So our relationship with our Heavenly Father is never going away. And we can have both, but justification shouldn't be this static thing where it's like, well, I'm just as much justified, always justified, so therefore the Father is never displeased with his children, or he's not going to discipline his sons. And I remember when I first started getting into just the imputation of righteousness, which is like the catnip to the grace of God, and you start kind of dipping your toes in the doctrines of grace through the active obedience of Christ. And when I started thinking through that, it was difficult for me then to say just categorically how. And by the way, I was not confessional at that time, so these pieces have not been connected like they do in this document. And how can God discipline his sons, and yet he always sees the work of Christ in me? And if you don't understand justification and adoption, you can't really untie that knot. But it takes all of the Bible to help us to think through these aspects of justification and then adoption as we look at next week. But paragraph six, the justification of believers under the Old Testament was in these respects one and the same with the justification of believers under the New Testament. Justification is the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's through faith, and it's a declaration that we are counted righteous. Full subscribe to chapter 6 or chapter 11 on justification, and every good Protestant should as well. And then this is a call to anybody that's listening in here that has never really just enjoyed the doctrine of justification. This is the crown jewel of Christian faith. I mean, there's so many books that are written on this. I mean, it's critical for your life, for the rest of your life, for you to get this down. You have been justified. You are not being justified. You're not on the road to justification. You're justified right now. And if you don't know that, turn again to God's word and see the glorious truth of the real gospel, that you can know you're right with God right now. And in light of that, live a life of thankfulness and gratefulness. And this week, let justification fuel your thanksgiving. Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope you guys have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crypt podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrypt.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crypt, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.